It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.
Not the eclipse, hopefully.
Eclipse? Was there an eclipse?
No, that was my 2017 callback.
The lead singer of Pond yesterday.
I've been sitting on there for ages.
The lead singer of Pond yesterday, who was either...
on day release.
He's a very singular human being and was obviously...
You were very cute, quite attracted to him, weren't you?
Had imbibed potentially four or five different substances. In New Zealand, you guys are like the neighbour of Australia. Don't stare at the sun, guys.
I heard him say that, actually.
It was real good.
Something like that, you just sort of go, I'm not going to listen to any more in between.
But then he said,
song banter.
And make sure you see Conan and Anderson. I went, oh, yeah.
It's nice to get a heads up, isn't it?
Yeah.
From other bands, I suppose. Right.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey. I'm glad you had a nice day yesterday, though. I didn't go. I was busy watching television.
Good day for it. Lovely day for television.
Beautiful day for TV. Point me to your TV festivals, eh? That's what I want to go to. So today we're talking
Goggle Fest.
We're talking about Animal Kingdom.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, little TV show based. It's an adaptation of the Australian film of the same name.
Which is quite a brutal and stark film.
I'd say it's
white trashy sort of
gritty.
Gritty.
The film is gritty. Written and directed by David Michaud. This is a film. It's a crime drama set in Melbourne about a criminal family headed by this kind of like hard as nails matriarch. And then it's kind of about them maintaining this life of crime, trying to maintain a life of crime up against this increasingly vigilant police force. Michaud was inspired by the Pettingill family in Melbourne, who are sort of led by their mother, Kath.
It's all based around one young guy whose mum's a junkie who dies, and then he's about by himself, so he goes and moves in with grandma,
Badass family, They've all got various convictions for drug trafficking, gun running, and, you know, just like upstanding citizens of the community. So the film.
We've all seen Neighbours like that.
We've all seen Neighbours. It's Neighbours Nights. the film was hugely successful. It was 95% on Rotten Tomatoes and won a buttload of awards. I think it was Ben Mendelsohn's breakout role.
It was one of them. I think he had like two at around about the same time where he played not very nice men.
Well, he was in Killing Them Softly, right? And that like as a sort of lout. Heroin addict lout. This is much more like he's got. He's
Can I just
so
do a shout out for him and Bloodline?
Oh my god, Bloodline. Ben Mendelsohn and Bloodline should just win all of the awards forever. I've never seen somebody do a performance like that. Just
menacing, just anxiety,
acting.
Acting.
You just never know. I've never seen somebody that you never know what their intentions are in the scene. You never know whether they are manipulating you or the other characters themselves. Yeah. He's so good.
So I was reading that he was like in 2008, sort of that long ago, he was basically washing dishes. He's like,
yeah, wow.
Just struggling for, no, it must have been earlier than that. But yeah, fairly recently he was sort of just doing no work.
Damn, man, he's so good.
Let's get back to Animal Kingdom.
Well, just on good acting, Jackie Weaver, who played the matriarch in the film, was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, the Academy Awards. So, you know, very successful movie.
Yeah.
Okay, fast forward to 2016, 5 years later, TNT is releasing the first season of Animal Kingdom, the TV show. So the show picks up this family, this Australian family, and plops them onto the Californian coast. Sees Jay, the guy you were talking about, moving in with this estranged family after his mother.
It means they can still keep all the same sort of beachy, surfy, sort of white trashy, Gold Coasty vibe of the.
I mean, there was. I revisited the movie. I watched some of the show, revisited the film. There's no beach in the film. It's just all in the sort of Melbourne...
Beach attitude, you know? Australians have that beach attitude, you know? Thongs, I'm talking about, you know, a pole, you know?
Highlights and sun in.
They've all just come from the beach.
Oh, just use lemons.
He's kind of quickly introduced to this life of crime and fast driving and saying awesome one-liners. But for the most part, for me, the show feels more like an adaptation of a Fast and Furious franchise than it does the adaptation of this Australian film. It kind of trades in this pathos and narrative originality that the film had for a bunch of like privileged, jacked up dude bros with good haircuts, kind of hooning around, listening to bad guitar rock and ugly muscle cars and
Yeah.
So Michelle serves as an executive producer, but I don't reckon that that actually consists of much more than them kind of renting the intellectual property from him. He and the producer both do, actually, Liz Watts.
Which is quite a big thing. Must be quite soul-searching to when you do that and you go, and you're watching it all play out and go,
I genuinely thought this a lot as I was watching this show. I was like, if you made this kind of like critically acclaimed, you know, gritty, the G word film, and to watch somebody kind of, you know, like, I mean, bastardize it is perhaps a little
harsh, I thought it was pretty close to the original. I was surprised how close to the original it was.
I would be in a different camp. And okay, here's like the core reason for that, I think, is that the film is about a system in decline. It's about endings, and it's about, like, I don't know, like, not to be kind of too pretentious about it, but it's about the collapse of an empire. And the genius of it is by putting this collapse into a really mundane setting, i.e. the Melbourne suburbs. And I just don't think fundamentally you can make a TV show that is about an ending. It has to be about beginnings.
That's a good point. Because at the end of the first season, it starts feeling like the A-Team, but in a family.
Well, it
gets a little bit, really, you know, take the G, just got away from that again, you escaped that again, did you? And you're like, well, hey, well. But, I can see how you think that. Yeah.
That's an interesting point, because in the opus, sorry, here's a little bit of a spoiler for the film coming, but I don't think that, like, it happens in the first 20 minutes.
We're doing spoilers today. It's 2018.
The film's from 2010, so if you haven't seen it by now, you should. Joel Edgerton's character gets his face blown over a windscreen by the police in the first 20 minutes. Yeah. And that sort of, like, things only continue to crater from there.
You can't have a series that does that, though, can you?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially when you have Scott Speedman playing the Joel Edgerton character, and holy hell, whatever anti-aging well Scott Speedman is drinking from.
Which one's he? Which
he's Baz. He plays Baz, the kind of, like, he was in Felicity. He's the, like, beautifully chiseled, foppish hair, like, yeah. He's kind of like if Hugh Grant grew up in California.
My God,
who plays the bad? Who plays the badass brother in the Australian one? Ben Mendelsohn.
Pope is played by Ben Mendelsohn. Yes.
So and then you've got the guy that plays Pope in the series is quite good. I reckon.
Let's spend a little bit of a minute talking about Sean Hatosi. Don't know. Okay. He is, like, he's actually really good. He's like the glimmer of light, I think, in the darkened hallway of the show. He was
the teen film idol,
breakout,
right?
Star of teen film, the Faculty.
You know, that's right. I just didn't see that film.
Which basically just, like, emblazoned him on the brains of a generation of teenagers, I think.
Yeah.
And since then, he's kind of just been, like, pounding the edges of the frames and, like, you know,
B
and C grade films and TV shows. Okay, I don't really feel like I'm the kind of person that gets starstruck, but I guarantee you that I would be instantly starstruck around any cast member of the Faculty. Like,
for sure.
Oh my God, that film.
Look at you.
That film rides. So I just,
you're,
like,
blooming. You're blooming like a little flower. Stop.
I love it. Okay.
It's a great
film.
Okay,
Take a drink. Have a little sip of water.
It's a great coming of age film. It's wonderful.
Okay.
Elijah Wood, Josh Hartnett.
And then ones that have become cult classics, like Bring It On, that kind of ilk.
Yeah, I mean, Hattersey kind of didn't really do anything of note after the Faculty. I really did a good troll through his IMDb page. He has come to prominence more recently in television shows like this, basically. Like,
he's really good in this. He's the best character, isn't he?
He is really good, and I think that he should not be the best actor in this. Because Alan Barkin, as Jackie Weaver's character, needs to be the best performer. And, like, okay, granted, if you are trying to step into the shoes of somebody that was nominated for Academy Award in a film in the TV adaptation, those are obviously some pretty big shoes to fill. But man, oh man, like, I actually kind of cringe a little bit when she is on the screen. Like, I do not think she has got the chops for this role. I'm sorry. That was, like, a gross mistake.
Have you been disappointed by Ellen in the past?
I sort of struggle to think of a film that I've seen her in my, like, sort of, I don't know,
that was memorable.
Adult aware life.
There's been loads of them, though. You would have seen her in loads of films,
definitely.
But then you just can't remember which ones they are.
Was she in the Kevin Smith one, Chasing Amy? Was that Alan Barkin?
This is the thing. She's the person that you always think somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there was like kind of a time where it was like Renee Zellweger v. Ellen Barkin. I don't know. Definitely when I was a teenager, they were kind
of
like
an age difference there, though, isn't there?
Is there? I mean, I don't know.
Obviously haven't trawled their IMDb page.
I wish she was great. I did actually have a little troll of Ellen Barkin's IMDb page, and I was like, I didn't really recognize anything. Yeah, and you know what's weird is I feel like I remember this show being announced and them talking about retaining Jackie Weaver in her role, but yeah, obviously that didn't come to anything. Finn Cole as Jay is kind of equally as terrible. I think his sort of trademark acting technique, it seems to be looking like he's holding in a fart. And to be fair, his character is like written really.
How would that look?
Should be glad this is a sound only medium, listeners.
Paint your own picture there, but that was awesome.
Is that just like thinly concealed rage all the time?
Nah, he's just panic. He's just no, he just looks like frowning at the horizon. Like, you know, like
just trying really hard to act.
He's a teenager. He's like, and it's like it's a drippy character, and it's kind of a drippy character in the film as well. But the performance by James Frischeville is like, I don't know, just so nuanced and kind of chilling and naive at the same time. And I, you know, like it was kind of a breakout performance for him as well. But I don't really know that he's gone on to a huge amount. Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that I think the show necessarily should have been a direct remake of the film, but I guess I'm kind of interested in this idea that if you're going to make a show that bears zero resemblance to the film, if you're going to depart from the source material so much, then why even bother calling it Animal Kingdom in the first place? Like, because oftentimes it feels like the source material is kind of shackling it, and it like if they wanted to make this kind of like
must be terrible those meetings where it's all that, you know, that all comes to the table, you know, and he's going to go, oh, are we? That doesn't really sort of suit the whole. Yeah, we need to sort of because
intellectual property.
So which network bought it, were you saying?
TNT.
Right, because TNT seemed like they might be the kind of people who were like, okay, this season we need at least four pairs of tits and we want three cars that blow up, please.
Yeah, yeah, they're sort of, they do a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Show a lot of sports. It's kind of my
do a lot of drugs and sports and guns and that.
It's kind of my knowledge of TNT is that they have a lot of NBA games. Yeah, I mean,
look, if you're not on board, you're not on board.
You've watched it.
I've watched it. Yeah, I've watched it. But I just sort of. I filtered. Nah, I just got to a bit where I just went,
oh yeah.
Oh, what are we breaking into the military base? Are we? Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Ta-da.
Wow.
Ta-da.
That's what happens.
Ta-da.
Even
later.
Better than I could have imagined. That's
if it was
amazing.
Australian, I would have said hooray.
Is it worth it to compare and contrast though? Like, if you've seen the film, then
I know some people who really like it. Some people who just love it. It's just for a good.
I'd be interested to know if those people also like the film. Like, I'd be interested to know like what the Venn diagram of people that like the film and like the TV show, if there is a clear crossover, or if there were two separate camps completely.
I'd say there'd be a lot of people that would not have seen the film, and because the show's out there, but the film was sort of
the film. Yeah, you're right. I think it did about $7 million business worldwide. Apart from, you know, it had huge critical success and won a bunch of awards, but I don't think it was necessarily a, you know, like cut through mainstream.
Unless you're a person like myself who likes to dig around and find these dark Australian things that they do.
Did play at the New Zealand Film Festival. I think it opened the New Zealand Film Festival in 2011, probably. I guess it would have been.
So you
2010,
were,
2011.
You were saying, what was it? Fast and the Furious. So does that mean there's a car chase song that you've brought in?
That's what were you going to say, Mikey?
I was going to say that. I mean, that's pretty brutal.
To be fair, it doesn't have the stunts that the Fast and the Furious do.
Shut up.
But it's mainly just because of the you know, fast cars, like, you know, California sunshine. Everybody's kind of like doing badass stares into the distance and stuff.
Yeah, everyone's. I'm going to say that.
Okay, so there was a the soundtrack is hit and miss. Like, there's some like 90s rock on there. There's some Bush on there and stuff like that.
Hey, hey man, nice shot.
But here's kind of my pick of the bunch is, well, it was either going to be this or Run the Jewels.
Seriously, what about Bush? Hey,
man.
Yeah. Some people like it. Some people like it. Yeah. I like horses.
Did a little. Yeah, no. Yeah, I was gonna. Never mind. Exactly. Listened to that recently. So it's, you know, it's got something.
What time of the night?
It's definitely earnest. Oh, post midnight for sure. So this is Eagles of Death Metal. I think is a little oral highlight on the soundtrack.
All right.
A song called The Reverend. It's good. First two seasons of this show are on Neon.
We'd love for you to watch it and give us your opinion here at 95BFM. We'll pass that directly on to Alex and put that in the Viewmaster folder.
File it away.
Thank you, Alex.
Thanks. See you next week.
Viewmaster on 95BFM, brought to you by Neon.